Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the wicked. Why did the Lord say not to resist the wicked? Some people accuse Christians of being wimps. What teachings balance or complete this teaching? Let's start from the top, looking from the point of view of the Lord in heaven, and then come down to the perspective of applications in this life. In the other world, doing good from a good love brings its own reward. Goodness has within it its own reward because it opens our minds and hearts to receive the Lord's blessings. When we try to do what will help others be happier, we are acting from the Lord's love with us and letting His love flow into us all the more. Doing good for others brings happiness not only directly from the Lord within us, but also from neighbors who are grateful and love to do things for us in return. The love of what is good grows and becomes more and more deeply satisfying forever because it does not take away from other people's happiness, but increases it. By contrast, doing harm from an evil love brings punishment. Evil has within it its own punishment, because evil is what separates a person from the Lord, the source of happiness. Evil is destructive, and ultimately it is self-destructive, because it destroys all the good things around it that support it. Evil consumes rather than produces, and it is insatiable, never content. Evil leads to frustration and punishment because the Lord must protect the good. If He did not, the equilibrium would perish, upon which the whole universe depends, including the evil spirits themselves. Evil spirits are always dashing themselves against the walls, the laws of order that keep the structure of creation intact. It is not the fault of the walls that the evil hurt themselves. In the other world, as a spirit applies himself to do good or evil, he unfailingly opens himself to receive the same. We read in the Arcana Celestia, with a person who does good from the heart, good is flowing in from heaven on every side into his heart and soul, and inspiring him greatly to act as he does. At the same time, love and affection for the neighbor to whom he does good is increasing. And with this affection comes a delight that is heavenly, beyond description. The reason for this is that the good of love from the Lord reigns everywhere in heaven, flowing in unceasingly in the same measure as it is being given out to another. Similarly, with someone who from the heart does evil to another, evil inflows from hell on every side into his heart, spurring him on greatly to act as he does. At the same time, selfish love and feeling is increasing, and with them the delight of hatred and revenge against those who do not submit themselves. The reason for this is that the evil of the love of self reigns everywhere in hell, flowing in unceasingly in the same measure as it is being given out to another. When this occurs, punishers are instantly present who deal roughly with the offender. By this means, evil, along with its delight, is kept in check. The punishing spirits are always from hell, never from heaven. Evil spirits are always eager and waiting for the chance to inflict pain on anyone. When evil spirits try to do evil, they separate themselves from the Lord's protection. Then other spirits instantly rush in to torment them. So the punishment does not at all come from the Lord or from the angels, but from the evil itself which they have done, reflected back through other evil spirits. This is the origin of the law of retaliation, that if a man did evil to his neighbor and his neighbor's friends were entitled to return the same to him. That's how the spiritual law comes down to the level of the sensual man. On this level, it appears like revenge. Even on the natural plane, though, the law of retaliation serves to limit revenge or punishment. The Israelites were not allowed to take a life for the loss of an eye. The law was an eye for an eye. When the Lord came into the world, he gave the law again in its heavenly form. This is what we call the Golden Rule. It is called in the heavenly doctrine the Christian law. It teaches charity, mercy, and patience as we want others to extend to us. The converse of the Golden Rule is also true, that we should not do things to others that we do not want done to us. The Lord, therefore, was not setting aside or doing away with the law of retaliation when he said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you not to resist the wicked." Rather, the Lord was contrasting two attitudes toward others. It is evident, the heavenly doctrine says, that the words "do not resist evil" are not meant to be taken literally. "Who is bound by Christian love," we read, "to turn the left cheek to him who strikes the right, and to give away the tunic to him who would take away the coat?" Who is not allowed to resist evil? In fact, the writings urge us over and over again to resist evil, especially within ourselves, but also around us. For example, we read, "If people will resist evils in intention, only once a week or twice in a month, they will perceive a change." And in True Christian Religion, we read, "We will now show what is meant by loving the neighbor." To love the neighbor is not only to will and do good to a relative, a friend, and a good man, but also to a stranger, an enemy, and a bad man. Charity, however, is exercised toward these in different ways. Toward an enemy and a wicked person, it takes the form of indirect benefits, such as exhortation, discipline, and punishment, and thus it takes the form of correction. Thus, a judge loves his neighbor when, in accordance with law and justice, he punishes an evildoer, for in this way he provides for his amendment and also cares for the welfare of the citizens by preventing the infliction of further harm upon them. Everyone knows that a father who chastises his children when they do wrong still loves them. On the other hand, if he does not chastise them, he shows a love for their faults, and such cannot be in accordance with charity. Further, if anyone repels the attacks of an enemy and strikes out against him in self-defense, or delivers him to the judge to prevent injury to himself, yet with a disposition to become his friend, such a one acts from charity. Wars in defense of one's country and the church are not inconsistent with charity. The end for which they are undertaken shows whether or not they are in accordance with charity. We must defend what is honorable and just by resisting evil and falsity. Evil spirits are of such a nature, we are told, that they wish that the good may never resist, but yield, so that they may be able to bring all evil upon them. But it was replied to them that the good cannot help but resist, and if there were no resistance, these evil spirits would abuse their goodness and aim to destroy all in heaven and earth. When we resist and even fight against evil and falsity, the Lord is able to strengthen the love and the sight of what is good in us. But the key is that we must not resist evil from a spirit of hatred and revenge. As soon as we do, we expose ourselves to the evils of revenge from the hells, and the hells of the vengeful are some of the worst. We must not resist evil with evil or allow evil motives to gain the upper hand in us. We should shun gloating over others' misfortunes, even if they have in some sense been our enemies. When we have fought an enemy, we should then look toward becoming his friend. We cannot offer the direct benefits of friendship unless he shows a change of heart. But that should be our wish and aim. To shun the terrible harm of revenge, the Lord commands us to love our enemies, bless those who curse us, do good to those who hate us, and pray for those who spitefully use us and persecute us. We must shun self-righteousness. There is no one who is good but one, God. Therefore, we are not to resist evil from ourselves and take credit for victory in temptation. If we do, the evil spirits have actually won and have gained further control over us. The Arcana says simply, "He who believes, when tempted, that he can resist by his own strength, yields. But he who believes that the Lord alone resists, conquers." Although we have to resist as if from ourselves, we must realize that the Lord alone has power and pray to him for help. Then the Lord can give us the victory in such a way that we are stronger and we see more clearly than ever that the Lord is the only Savior. In this way, he saves us from self-righteousness. The Lord is the only one who ever really resists evil and falsity, because good itself resists evil and truth resists falsity. The very sphere of heaven from the Lord, being a sphere of innocence, mutual love, and conjugal love, joined with a clear sight and affection of truth, is repulsive to evil spirits. In the sphere of heaven, they become aware of their own stench and deformities. That sphere is so contrary to what they enjoy that they cannot even breathe in heaven, so they flee away. This is not due to any malice or ill will on the part of the angels there, but because of the evil spirit's own opposition to the good and truth with the angels. The Lord withholds the angels from evil and upholds them in good. In this way, he resists evil for them. Gandhi's peaceful non-cooperation with unjust laws is perhaps an earthly example of this. He did not harden the hatred of the authorities by doing vicious things himself, but he stirred the conscience of the world to recognize the injustice. In this world, we have to resist evil and falsity. But once we have entered heaven, we will have eternal peace. There are angels whose use is to defend us from evil spirits and to keep the hells in order, but they themselves have peace, trusting in the Lord. The celestial angels, whose state is represented by the Sabbath day, the day of rest, never fight or even think of fighting, yet they always conquer. We read, "Love to the Lord and love toward the neighbor has the effect of being safe among all evils, even in the midst of the hells, because they who are in this love are most closely conjoined with the Lord and are in the Lord, because they are in the divine that proceeds from him. Hence, nothing of evil can reach them." This peace is represented by the Lord saying that we are not to resist evil. The Lord's goal for us is that we may be led to the point that we don't have to resist evil anymore because we are safe in him. We can cultivate this spirit of trusting in the dispensations of providence. Then, even while we have to resist evil and fight against evil in our external man, internally, we will follow the Lord's command not to resist evil from ourselves. the Lord will be able to make us more perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Amen. And now to the one only God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.